10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Friday morning. ESPN 102.5 The Game. You just made the list coming up at noon. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk to someone who covers NASCAR. They have decided they are indeed coming back this month and real soon, and they are going to hit the track running for sure with lots of dates, and they're going to try to squeeze a lot in the month of May, and then we'll see if it continues. But we'll get into all that at the bottom of the hour. We'll do a little trivia in the final hour. Right now we say hello and good morning to Predators General Manager David Poile. David, how you doing?
Good, Darren. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. How has quarantine life in the Poile household been?
Well, it's fine. Getting a lot organized at home. Really getting to know my wife really well, although we've already been married for 48 years, so it's all good there. Just certainly anxious and hopeful that when the time is right that we can get back to play and get back to some kind of normalcy. But like everybody else, I mean, we're probably getting a little frustrated because we want things to happen sooner than they really can. So got to show and exhibit some patience here and make sure everybody takes care of themselves so we get in a position where we have a chance to play again.
You probably thought you knew your wife through and through for the last 48 years. Have you learned anything new about your wife during this period? Has she learned anything new about you?
Well, no, I'll answer it a different way. We've actually, you know, just few moves in the hockey business, and so we've actually done a lot of cleaning up or trying to, you know, downsize a little bit or what have you. So we've actually had some good times going over a lot of old memories from when we first started to date, to marriage, to kids being born and all those things. So I've been going down memory lane. But now it's time to make some new memories here.
That's cool. That is awesome. Well, we thought we were going to be able to break some news to you as Elliot Friedman joined us yesterday and said he wanted to wrap up the show by saying, or his segment by saying, that he has learned that Milwaukee is not going to get named the champs. We thought we could pass along that because of the circumstances that Milwaukee Admirals would be the champs, but he's claiming that's not going to be the case. So we thought we were going to have good news, but unfortunately not.
Yeah, that's another unfortunate thing, a little selfish, of course, but our farm club Milwaukee was the top team in the American Hockey League, and it certainly looked like they had everybody as good a chance as anybody of being the best team there and winning the championships. And as we all know, those opportunities don't come by every year. So I feel sorry for that franchise, those fans, and of course our players that they didn't have that opportunity to compete for the championship.
No doubt. Did you get a chance to watch the NFL virtual draft this past weekend?
I did. I asked all of our guys to watch. It was pretty good. I anticipate that the NHL draft would be, you know, somewhat the same. I don't think we quite have the coverage. In other words, meaning our players that we draft are from all over the world. So I don't think there'd be the ability to have that access to the being in homes or living rooms of Russians or Swedish players or Finnish players for that part. So it'll be a little bit different. I think it'll be all probably, you know, more footage of the player actually playing and what have you. But it was interesting to see some of the layouts and setups that the different coaches and managers had. I got to make sure that there's nothing in the background. I got that pretty clear. So should be interesting. I'm sure it was the same for the Titans and all of the other NFL teams. It would be better if we could be together. It would be better if I could be with a Jeff Kelty and a Tommy Nolan who are running the draft, so that we could play off of each other in terms of upcoming, picks and what have you. If I'm talking to another team about moving up in the draft or down the draft or have some kind of a deal, but I know it can be worked out, and uh, I'm certainly envisioning it. We'll probably have, you know, multiple TVs and be on a Zoom type of a call with all of our scouts so we can have interaction as the draft plays out. So I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be fine, and it's made for good TV.
No doubt. We weren't sure what we were going to see, but you're right. It all worked out. It seemed like, though, it did affect trading. The trading was down as a whole through seven rounds of the NFL draft. Do you think it'll affect things on the NHL side as well?
Yeah, it certainly could. That's what I thought about the most. And if you remember last year during the draft, that we actually traded P.K. Subban, who was obviously a top player and a player that came with a big salary of $9 million cap salary, and the deal was driven by the draft picks. So it certainly made it a lot easier that, in this case, New Jersey GM Ray Shero and myself could be together for multiple meetings, and at the end of the before we made the deal, actually a face-to-face, you know, meeting. So I'm not saying it can't be done, but it certainly will be a little bit more difficult to do that. But the draft is, you know, is the GM's currency, if you will. So, you know, you have draft picks, you know, to acquire players, to get rid of players. If you got money situations that you have to resolve, it's a place to do a lot of different things in addition to just drafting the players. So it'll be a challenge, but the NFL pulled it off pretty good, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to do the same thing in the NHL.
Predators General Manager David Poile on the line with us. We've gone down memory lane a lot since we've been doing these shows here from home, and we've had some really, really good conversations with a lot of cool people and people we have enjoyed talking to. And you get that opportunity, you know, when our kind of with our life coming to a screeching halt and things have slowed down. I don't know if this is not a great memory, but I did want to just harken back on, you know, when you think of this, what do you think of? It's hard to believe, but David, 10 years ago, I think it's today, is unfortunately the 10 years ago of the historic flood that hit our city and that affected Bridgestone Arena and downtown. What do you remember about that time? Because that was, as you know, in an interesting part of time for the Predators at that point.
Yeah. Well, what I remember is I wasn't overly happy because we just lost out in the playoffs. And we brought in our scouting staff, so we were having meetings that morning. And as I walked into Bridgestone Arena, the ice had been taken out, and I just walked into the bowl, and there was this water kind of like a just trickling on the floor. It was, you know, not a flood or anything, just coming out as if it was coming out of a hose or what have you. And then I quickly was told what was happening. Basically, the sewers were getting backed up and what have you, and all this was eventually coming onto the floor of the Bridgestone Arena. So that little trickle certainly turned into probably a couple of feet of water on that event level in a pretty fast period of time. But because it was coming in so slow at that time, we had plenty of time to move all of our equipment and different things that we could up to you know, a higher level, like say your electronics and video and things like that. Having said that, at the end of the day, it was all basically confiscated or what have you in terms of contamination or what have you. The one thing that that we got out of that is we revamped all of the event floor downstairs and redid our dressing room setup and our weight and conditioning room and some different things like that to give it a totally new look, modern look or what have you. So out of something that was really bad, we were able to get that done. But that was a terrible time in our history for sure. And again, I didn't realize it was 10 years ago today. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, we were actually, the wife and I were supposed to go to Jimmy Buffett at Bridgestone Arena that Saturday night, and when we saw which looked like a part of a school floating down I-24, we said, well, that's how we're going to Bridgestone, so I don't think we're going to the concert tonight unless we have a boat. We didn't have one. It was crazy just to see the shots, right? Nobody really understood what was going on until we started seeing kind of the aerial shots of, you know, different parts of town. I was like, holy cow, this is really bad. And we know we're getting a lot of rain, but man.
And we saw that, you know, all the, obviously the businesses, bars, restaurants on Broadway and, you know, completely flooded in, you know, those that had basements and things like that. But I guess as a reminder to us in this time, things came back to normal, and I guess we could say even better than before. So I guess as you bring that up, I'm sort of thinking the same thing as where we are right now. It's no time to be feeling sorry for yourself, is that we are going to get better, and this is going to pass, and there'll be something bigger and better that's going to come out of this. It's hard to believe at this moment, but that's what I choose to believe.
Yep.
Yeah, let's hope for the best. David Poile is with us, general manager of the Predators. And David, as we look back, this is something that we wanted to ask you. Around the time there was the 40th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice here recently, and I think everybody, even people that are nowhere close to being old enough to remember watching that live, and I was just a kid, but they've all seen the movie Miracle, right? So they know the story, and they have watched Jim Craig. But you have a great story about signing Jim Craig to a professional contract. I wonder if you would share that with us.
Yeah, I was being a little bit older than you, Willie. I say you put in there that you're just a kid, but I was a grown-up. I had a full-time job. I was assistant GM with the Atlanta Flames. And myself and the general manager, Cliff Fletcher, were in Lake Placid. And it was fantastic, the whole thing. I mean, of course, like so many things in life, you had no idea, had, you know, relatively low expectations of what would happen specifically for the U.S. team. But it was lots of personal stuff involved for me. First of all, when you watch the Miracle, my dad was involved in that. He was the commissioner of this Central Hockey League at the time. And for the first time, they had the Olympic team play as part of the CHL schedule. And Herb Brooks and Craig Patrick, the coach and manager at the time, give this my dad and the CHL all sorts of credit for that level of competition of getting them ready for the Olympics. And then the Atlanta Flames had chosen Jim Craig in the draft a couple of years earlier as a fourth round pick. He went to Boston University, and you know he wins the gold medal, and I think the Olympics ended on a Sunday, I believe, and they went on a whirlwind tour to the White House and different things. And so we made a deal with his agent, and we signed Jim Craig, and I believe he came into Nashville on the Thursday. And I picked him up at the airport. It was about 10 o'clock at night at the Atlanta airport, and there wasn't a lot of people there, but he came off the plane, and at those days there was no security, so you could go right to the gate and what have you. And he came off the plane, and he was kind of stumbling around. Like, I thought he was maybe drinking or drunk or what have you, but he just gave me a big hug, and he just said, David, I haven't been to bed for 5 or 6 days, and basically had strep throat, and he was just tired. As we were walking through the airport, all people started to recognize who he was because everybody had watched the Olympics and wanted to shake his hand, hug him. Every woman wanted to kiss him. I mean, that was the theme for all the time. Every woman wanted to kiss him. So I took him to the hotel, and then I went home, and my wife comes. I come in the garage. She said, did you get him? Yeah, do you have his stuff? Yeah, it's in the trunk of my car. So she wanted to look at his goalie pack. The only time she's ever wanted to see anything. person. So the next day we went down to practice, and it was a bit embarrassing. Most of our team was Canadians, and obviously Craig was an American, and our first goalie, he wouldn't even shake his hand. That's how
wow.
I guess jealous, you'd say, of the whole thing. So anyway, you got the key to the city and this and that and different things. And then we're playing the Colorado at that time, Rockies, a Saturday night, and sold out crowd, et cetera, et cetera. And he played really well. It was dynamic, et cetera, et cetera. And after the game, Coca-Cola was going to do a commercial for Jim Craig, and you know, with the American flag draped around him, sort of that scene at the Olympics when he was looking for where's my dad, if people remember that. and then they, all the players were going to get paid, like, I want to say $500. So they, all the guys that didn't like him quickly became a good friend of his, you know. Or, and so we were there to like 1 o'clock.
500 bucks is pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. So we're in the dressing room to about 1 o'clock in the morning just filming the commercial, and then everybody left and went out and what have you. I get a call at 8 o'clock in the morning from the editor of Sports Illustrated, Mark Mulvoy, who is a friend of mine, and he said all the strobe lights at the Omni in Atlanta were not sufficient in terms of how the pitchers were to put Jim Craig on the cover of Sports Illustrated for that week. So if you want him on the cover, you need to get him back to the Omni, and we'll set up some kind of a pitcher. I need to stand in the next three hours. So I called him. I probably just got into the hotel or what have you. So I got the trainers. We were down at the Omni like at 8 o'clock in the morning, and everybody's dead tired or what have you. He put on his Atlanta Flames uniform. They sprayed water on his face, and they took a picture of him sitting in the stall. And that is a picture that you see that went on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Wow.
So that's a pretty interesting story.
Wow.
That is cool. What a whirlwind it was for him. And we're all wondering, David, I mean, if you look at his stats, obviously he was not a great NHL goalie. So do you think that contributed just too much too fast for him in his development? Or why do you think he wasn't a great pro?
It was a fourth-round pick. I mean, I think he was an average goalie. I mean, I don't mean to be descending or what have you. And then the thing that happened after the Olympics and playing for it, it was just too much. I mean, a couple of weeks later, as the season was going on, I think we sent him on vacation because it was almost like he was going to have a breakdown. It was, you know, physically and mentally, it was so much pressure. We were getting basically a sack of mail in our office every day for him, for autographs and, you know, different things, marriage proposals, all sorts of stuff. And it was just too much too soon. And, you know, I think Cliff did the right thing. We actually traded him to Boston, to the Bruins, you know, hometown and what have you. So it was just really, really hard, really hard. You know, I guess the bottom line is hard to live up to what they accomplished as a team. And for him as an individual to replicate that in the NHL.
Chase, go ahead.
We're talking to Predators general manager David Poile here on Darren Donick and Chase. And David, it's good to talk to you. It's been a while, for sure, during
good
all of this.
Good to talk to you guys.
I can't wait
to see everybody in person.
I know. I'm ready, too. We had Joel Ward on the other day, and he was one of those that I always said, this is a prime example of a bargain bin signing that really turned out to be something. And I know that, you know, you're humble. You don't like to give yourself a ton of credit with some of these things. But can you think back in your time as general manager of a player similar to Joel that you were able to find that you didn't know exactly what he was going to become, but that you just sit back and you go, that worked out. I was really proud of that, proud of our staff that was able to find that player. Is Joel that guy, or is there another one that comes to mind?
Well, hopefully we've had a few of those, but I mean, I think we all really like the Joel's story and, you know, a bit older and trying to turn pro. Again, all the odds are against him. So I love that story. I talked to Joel the other day too, and really happy for him. And I think he should probably get into the game in some way, shape or form, because I think he's got a lot to offer. In Nashville, I mean, a couple of guys come to mind right away. I mean, Vern Fiddler is a player that I think did really well. Could, you know, not drafted, played in the East Coast League for a few years before we took a chance on promoting him to Milwaukee, and you know, he had a terrific career, and we actually brought him back for our best run in 17, and he got a huge game-winning goal for us against St. Louis in game 3 or 4. So and like Patrick Hornquist, the, you know, Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft in his draft year, and look at the career he's had playing for us and then for Pittsburgh and winning Stanley Cup. So yeah, you know, you need a few of those. How about Pekka Rinne? He drafted in the eighth round or ninth round, whatever it is. We only have 7 rounds right now. Hardly ever played in his draft year because they had a really good goaltender, Nicholas Backstrom, who played in Minnesota and in Calgary, was ahead of him to have the career that Pekka's had. So again, those are great stories, and you know, we need to have those from time to time to put our team together and to be successful. But currently, Joel Ward, that was really happy. 726 games. He never thought that. I don't think anybody thought that for Joel Ward. So that's fantastic.
Wasn't the story on Pekka that you guys actually went to scout Nicholas Backstrom and kind of discovered him?
That's one of those stories. It's like wine. It's getting better with the every year that passes by. Jani Kekalainen, it's true. I mean, Jani Kekalainen, I really got a good feeling about this guy, but he doesn't play very much. And then I got Ray Shiro, who was my assistant at the time, the trip that he went over to see him play. And he said, well, so they're talking. And Jani says, well, better get over to the game early. And Ray said, well, why is that? He said, because if you're going to see him play, you're going to have to watch him in warm-up because he's not playing. And so that's not exactly how we drafted him, but that's probably not too far from the truth, because it was hard to find games that he was playing in, because Matt Backstrom was the number one goalie and he got almost all the games.
Wow. Must have had a good warm up. David, good stuff. Thanks for joining us. You and the family continue to be safe. And like you said, man, I hope we get a chance to talk in person sooner rather than later.
Yeah, let's hope so. Everybody take care of themselves. Hopefully we're turning the corner here and we'll be back in business and seeing everybody real soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you, David. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
All right, that is David Poile, Predators general manager. When we come back, by the way, NASCAR at the bottom of the hour. But we'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.